Alright, are you ready? Okay, my name is Shelley Devers. I'm here with Barbara Strauss. It's April 14th, 2010, and we're at the Detroit Shoreway Community Center. Alright, can you tell us your name and where you were born?
My name is Barbara Strauss, and I was born in La Crosse, Wisconsin.
Alright, when were you born?
1947.
Are you from Cleveland originally?
No, I'm new to Cleveland since 2004.
Okay, can you tell us about that neighborhood that you grew up in?
Yes, it was a neighborhood, La Crosse is along the Mississippi River, and it's a neighborhood kind of like the Detroit Shoreway. I make that comparison because I remember knowing all kinds of people and feeling very safe going around the neighborhood and having businesses and things to do quite close. And when I came to Detroit Shoreway and I chose this neighborhood specifically, I feel it's very much like my childhood as far as the neighborhood goes. And I haven't experienced that since I was a kid, so it's kind of cool.
Yes.
I know a lot of people in Detroit Shoreway.
That's great. How did you come to live in Cleveland?
I moved here because I had a job offer from Cleveland State University. I'm a librarian there, and feel very fortunate to work there. I found the house on the internet. I was looking at the Neighborhood Links website that Cleveland State has put together. So I was looking for a certain kind of neighborhood, one that was close to the university, had public transportation, had a mixture of ages and incomes, and had businesses close by. And then to top it off, there was this Progressive Urban offering a green townhome in Eco Village, and that was like just sealed the deal. So it was a good choice for me. I really love living here.
That's good.
And there was a garden close by.
Can you explain what an Eco Village is?
Cleveland Eco Village. An Eco Village, in a general sense, is a housing group of people that try to live on green principles. And Cleveland Eco Village is different than most in that it's a neighborhood that's been designated as an eco village, like 15-minute walk from the Rapid Station on 65th. And it is a redeveloping neighborhood, and some housing either has been built new according to green principles or houses have been rehabbed. And then the infrastructure, like there's a new Rapid Station there that is very cool and very green. And other things are happening in the neighborhood, including a farmer's market and all that makes living there I feel like I'm living more a green lifestyle than before. And I just bought a hybrid car. So, yay!
All right, how long have you been living in the Detroit Shoreway?
This is 5 years now, since January 2004. Right, I'm into my sixth year, I guess.
Yeah. And how do you feel about the community?
I like living here. It's not without its warts. It still has some problems, but I am very hopeful about the neighborhood and the people. People like living here, I think. I was just, as I was coming here, I was just driving and stopped at my house. And of course, there was a prostitute and a guy on the corner of 58th and Lorraine, but you know, that's part of the wart part. But there's a lot of good in this neighborhood too, and a lot of people that care deeply about it. So I'm here for the long haul.
Can you explain some of the problems that are still in the community?
Well, we suffer from the foreclosure problems, and so there are a lot of houses built up. There are houses houses that are boarded up and houses that have been torn down or should be torn down, even close to where I live. There are, as I said, there's a variety of people living here with a variety of incomes, so it can easily be seen. There are also some drug problems, prostitution problems, but I'm told by people who have been living here for a long time that things are better, and I think things will get better. So I think Detroit Shoreway the people are reclaiming the area. But one of the things that I like about Detroit Shoreway is the CDC's commitment to a variety of housing and providing housing for a variety of incomes and really accommodating the population as it is. And I think that's right on track.
That's good. Why did you write the grant to do this project?
Well, it seemed a great opportunity. I've been involved in the Ithaca Court Community Garden over on between West 54th and West 57th and Ithaca Court. And then with Margaret Armstead and John Yoki, we started our little vegetable business called Eco Village Produce. This is our fifth year doing this, and when this opportunity came up for the grant, it just seemed to bring together a whole bunch of pieces that we had been trying to put together. And that includes access to land, some help with infrastructure like water and fencing, and help with buying some plants. We're actually going to buy trees and berry bushes and all. So we we're committed to providing fruits and vegetables to the neighborhood. So it all just seemed to come together pretty well. And I've been doing some grant writing, and so I was inspired to do this.
All right. Why did you select this location?
This location for the grant?
Yeah. West 57th Street, mm-hmm. 1963.
Well, we've been working at that site since 2006. And when we first started working there, it was three lots and one house that was not being lived in. And it was a mess. It was compacted soil, and there were whiskey bottles and dirty diapers and stones and sticks and trash all over. It was in scrub trees. It was a mess, and we started small. And we got permission from Detroit Shoreway to use the two lots that they had, and then we got permission to use a third lot owned by individuals. And then last year, through the housing courts and all, they tore down the last house, and that went into the land bank. So there were these four contiguous lots, which is, it's not a quarter of an acre, it's probably 2/10 of an acre there. And it's a great opportunity, because you hardly ever get so many lots contiguous, and it is right next to the community garden. There's a parking lot next to it. Does not have water access because the water from the houses has been turned off. But we saw a potential for, in the long haul, of perhaps even acquiring the land to use for agriculture. Most of the idea of doing this urban farming came from classes that my partners and I took from OSU Extension, the Cuyahoga County office, on market gardening. and we all have a passion for this. And we learned about a certain, it's called a modular ecological design system. It's a planting system. And one of the units would just fit in part of the lot. And it's intensive fruits and vegetables. And we decided we wanted to expand what we were doing to include that. Now, we've never grown fruit trees or berry bushes before, but with some help, we'll do just fine. So it's like we've been working on these lots for 4 years, and with the grant and the changes in the city rules and all, it appears that we might be able to count on this particular location for a long time. This last year, it was recently rezoned to Garden District, as has the adjacent community garden. And so that's one layer of security that it will be used for agriculture in the future, even if we're not there. But the things seem to be falling together at that location quite well.
That's good. Can you tell me about your project?
Yeah, it's an exciting project. It's based on research done at the OSU Extension Farm in Worcester. And it's a project designed by Joe Kovach, who is an integrated pest management specialist. And he has a lot more land than we do, but he had all these test plots where he had variations on the theme. Do you grow all the apple trees in one row, or do you intersperse them with other things, or do you make a checkerboard pack or design? And so he had presented, I've heard him present his research results, and we chose his most successful model out of all of those variations to build. And I think it may be the first commercial installation in an urban environment. And so we really owe credit to Joe Kovach for designing this. As I said, it's called a modular ecological design system. I wish it load off the tongue a little easier, but it's meant to have some concepts, temporal concepts. That's time. We have fruit that ripens early season, mid season, and late season, and then spatial differences. That is, we plant high and low and high and low to confuse the insects. And then we have a varietal differences. That is, we're having peaches and apples, blueberries, strawberries, and raspberries, and then low-growing vegetables. So it's not like we're planting a whole field of corn. We have all these different varieties, and insects don't like to eat everything. They generally go for one thing. So this is a research-based idea, and we think it was pretty solid. So I brought the picture with me, and it does look like a checkerboard square. There are rows that are 4 feet by 44 feet. And there are eight of those rows, and then in between there's a walking space. And each of those 44-foot rows are about a 10-foot, or a little more than 10 feet, 4x10 garden bed. And in that goes a couple of trees or berry bushes, and then low to the ground, we might put in edamame, which is like edible soy, or tomatoes, or some greens. And it's a patchwork quilt so that the apples, if there's apples in the first row, they're not quite in the same space in the second row, and so on. So it makes a checkerboard pattern. Altogether, there's about 1,280 square feet of growing space. And so it's intensive, it changes varieties. And the varieties that we chose, we had a great time going through websites and seed catalogs to find the varieties that were recommended. And we think our customers at the Gordon Square Farmers Market are really going to like what they get.
Yeah.
So there's red apples and green apples. There's early, mid, and late strawberries even.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like everything will come in June. So this is a new style of growing for us, and it requires a little different infrastructure. We will be installing garden beds with rails around them, raised beds. These will be, and we're still working on the design for the watering. I think it's going to be a combination of rainwater collection. And then we learned last week that we're going to have access to city water through the hydrant that's across the street. So I think we'll do a combination of those things. And of course, for us, an important part of this project is getting a fence around this. This is a pretty big investment. We have a $10,000 grant to implement this project. And the case in the neighborhood is that things of value just walk off. And so having a fence is important. And the city now is allowing urban farms to have a 6-foot fence instead of a 4-foot fence. And so security for the trees and the bushes and the watering and all of that is important to fulfill this project. So we're going to be installing a fence around all 4 lots, I believe. But we want to put blackberries on the edge, thorned blackberries, but so you can pick them from the inside and the outside. So there will be little gifts.
Nice.
This model is designed to produce when this garden is mature. The goal is to earn $10 per foot of row every year. So if we have 640 row feet in this garden, as I've calculated, that's $6,400,
yeah,
which is a good income from a very small plot of land. Of course, that won't happen right away because the fruit trees don't bear until like the third year.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great idea, and we feel really fortunate to be able to implement this.
Sounds like a good plan. You mentioned that it's a market garden. Could you explain mm-hmm. what that is?
A market garden is a garden that is operated so that food can be grown and harvested and sold at a farmer's market or to a restaurant or to another institution. And there are differences between how we might grow food in the market garden compared to the community garden right next door. We tend to need to plant more. We don't plant just once a season, we just keep planting. And if something doesn't work out too well, we rip it out and put something else in. So there's like this no emotional attachment to these little plants, you know. If they're doing well, we love them. If they don't, take them out. And we try to grow a variety of things. For these first 4 years, we've specialized in greens and herbs, and then filled in with vegetables like tomatoes and eggplant and all. There are some things we can't grow because we don't have enough space, like can't grow watermelons or other kind of melons or cucumbers. Or actually, we don't grow tomatoes out in an unfenced area because they're what I call an attractive nuisance. Because two-footed persons come in and pick the tomatoes. So that's why a fence is important. So, but, you know, one of the goals, well, our business actually, EcoVillage Produce LLC, has goals of providing more fruits and vegetables to the neighborhood, helping the partners improve their income, and providing an economic development model for Detroit Shoreway. So we're really trying to stay in the neighborhood and have better food, make the living for the partners better.
Where do you sell your produce?
We sell now at the Gordon Square Farmers Market, which is on West 65th Street in West Clinton, in the parking lot of Bethany Presbyterian Church. And it seems like a pretty good location. We have a tent and tables, and there are other vendors, and we usually have a singer or a musician there, and we sometimes have events. And I get to know the customers, and so that's pretty nice. When we first started, we were at the Tremont Farmers Market. And sometimes we sell a little bit to some herbs to Great Lakes, or we've sold some vegetables to Fat Cats in Tremont, the restaurant. And we're looking to expand. But we also, it's not just selling the produce, we also do composting. So we gather compost from Gypsy Beans, which is here on Detroit Avenue. A lot of coffee grounds, eggshells, and from the Flying Fig. They have very nice compost. So, you probably never heard anybody say nice compost, but anyway, they do.
What are your plans for the project? Are you looking more for a social or environmental impact? What are your hopes and dreams?
Well, they're kind of multiple. There, without a doubt, we have improved the ecological state of that part of the neighborhood. I mean, it looks a lot better than it ever has, and the soil is better. And green is always better for the environment. It handles the water better, it cleans the air and all. So we think the ecological impact is large on that piece of land. We hope this business goes on for years and that we mature and really start earning some money that makes a difference. That was the question when we started. Would $500 make a difference in someone's life, you know, doing this? And I hope too that our little farm market operation encourages others to do the same thing, to grow food, eat locally. It's a healthy thing to do. I mean, I've learned, I have a Scandinavian background, and so I remember my mother's cooking was mostly like white, you know, boiled potatoes and pork chops or whatever. But I've learned to eat a wider variety of food, I think, in a healthier way. And I think that's within reach of everyone in our neighborhood. We have plenty of land and opportunities for that. I think we have to look in the bigger picture of where our food is coming from and make some changes. Someone asked, what do you want to do 20 years down the line? I think 20 years down the line, we'll be on our second set of apple and pear trees. That's where we'll be with those, because I don't know that those trees last all that long. So, I think it's a neighborhood changing thing, and I would like to see more people take up gardening and make some money at it. There's money to be made.
Is there anyone else in the community that's involved with your project?
Yes, my partners, Margaret Armstead and John Yoki. We were in the community garden working together, and we took the market garden class together. And we share a lot of common values about what the business is and what we're doing. Margaret lives just down the street from me. She lives on Madison, and we have carved out roles for ourselves in this business. Margaret's role is sales and marketing. My role is business management, and John's role is production, including, you know, the composting and the land and the just kind of the production part. So, and we're all learning what that means to have that role. And every year we get a little bit better at it. Margaret has a background when she's from Mississippi and grew up in gardening and in a rural area, and knew how to garden and farm when she came. John and his family are from Liberia. They've been in the United States about, I think, 3.5 years. And so he comes from he was a teacher, but I think everybody gardens and farms there, and he has a much different background. And of course the growing season and climate is so different that he's learning what's to do here. I heard him say yesterday, I used to plant and just scatter the seeds and they grew, and now we do this in little rows. And so I'm not sure what all that means, but I think I have a lot to learn about how to be a little more relaxed about this. Both John and Margaret have a philosophy about no stress in the garden, and maybe I'm a little more type A than that. But it's been interesting to listen to John's perspective, because he doesn't have the same moderate climate that, you know, we have. So when do you plant something? How early can you plant it? Or he could plant all year round where he came from. And here we have a very short growing season. So if you miss a couple weeks, you know, it's like, woo, we lost the edge there. But we're all learning. I came from not an agricultural background at all. I have a music and library science background, lived in the city, puttered around in the garden a little bit. But when I moved here, it's like the passion really struck me. And was first involved with the community garden, but then wanted to do this market garden too. So I'm learning all kinds. I mean, I've written a business plan. That's a new thing for me. So there's a lot to learn. And I think my partners feel there's a lot to learn too. So we're like little sponges, kind of soaking it all up.
Were any of your partners reluctant to join in the project? Did you have to convince anybody?
Well, you know, we've run our business on a shoestring. I mean, really a shoestring. And so the opportunity to change the infrastructure through some grant money was very appealing. And so we were very interested. And all three of us had seen this ecological design module and thought, you know, this makes so much sense. So it seemed like a natural when we were working on it. And when we chose the varieties of apples and peach trees and berries and stuff, it was a lot of fun. I mean, we had a lot of stories to tell about our experiences growing up and all. So it was, they were enthused about it. Yeah.
Have you done a project or community activity like this before?
Not quite like this. I've done some other things, but I have never been involved in anything being built quite like this. Most of the other projects I've done are a bit like music things or festivals or things like that. But so this is new. This is new, and it's the opportunity to make a difference. I think all of the other grantees, when we get together, we're just like kind of starstruck because it's like, wow, we're really doing this, and it's not something that will go away at the end of the summer. I mean, these gardens will be there.
We understand that the Neighborhood Progress Incorporated did a series of workshops in the summer of 2009. Did you attend any of those workshops?
Yes. Are these the workshops you're referring to where they went around and showed the overlays of the land and the tree canopy and all of that? It was amazing. The whole thing is so high tech in its concept. It's amazing because they've done an analysis of where the vacant land is, and even down to where the grocery stores are, where the trees are, where the brownfields are, and they can overlay all of those maps so they know where available land is, they know where the problems are, they know where the community gardens are, and their concept about reimagining Cleveland, you know, is pretty fresh. I mean, it's a fresh idea. I know other cities are doing it, Detroit, Youngstown, and all, and they each have their own way of doing things, but I'm really enjoying how this project is rolling out because it seems to be pretty organic, and it's making changes that will be permanent for the future of Cleveland. And by that I mean where there's vacant land and where there's a need for things to happen, something is happening, and the rules, whether it's access to water or fencing or the land bank, the county land bank, and what the city does with its land, all those rules are changing to accommodate positive change. This is going to change Cleveland permanently, and I think it's exciting, and it's going to be fun to browse around on that website, reimaginingcleveland.org, because I'm so awed about the other projects that are going on. It's a very creative group, and I think we're going to see some wonderful results. And it's fun when I go to these meetings to listen to the passion I hear whether it's from the people at NPI or the new vineyard out in Huff neighborhood or whatever. But there's just a passion and excitement about the city too. That's coming because of this.
How did you hear about the grant program?
Well, Detroit Shoreway was a big part in making sure that people in our neighborhood heard about it. Now, I heard about it also through my gardening network, but Detroit Shoreway hosted a meeting, and that's the meeting I went to. Encouraged us. They helped. They are the fiscal agent for our grant. So I can't say enough about the support that they've given towards reimagining Cleveland and to our grant in particular. And Lila Zoutner, who was the EcoVillage project manager here, worked with me on details having to do with this grant. And it is things that I just don't know about, like fences and stuff, and who to talk to about estimate for cost and all. So I appreciate the support they've given and the vision that they have that this will make a difference. I think Detroit Shoreway has either 3 or 4 grants projects in our neighborhood, which is awesome.
Yeah. You mentioned that you learned about the grant through the Detroit Shoreway.
Mm-hmm.
Do you meet, are there a lot of meetings that you have?
I'm involved in the neighborhood. I go to a block meeting, well, I might go to a couple of them, but and I'm on a community involvement committee, so, and I'm on iNeighbors, that neighborhood networking email site. And so I'm kind of hooked into what's going on around here. So I hear about stuff. I know what's going on.
Is there anything that Neighborhood Progress Incorporated could do to encourage further development of projects like yours?
Well, I'm hoping, and I've heard that they're going to have another round of this granting in the future. I was at a focus group where they were talking about remaking the pattern book and what would have been more helpful than it was the first time around. So I think there'll be another round of this particular reimagining Cleveland, and I think it's federal stimulus dollars, which to me is like putting money in the ground, at the ground level, absolutely, you know, literally in the ground. And that's amazing. That's amazing. I really like the way organizations in Cleveland work together. And I know it's not always easy, but there's MPI, and there's the city, and there's the county, and there's the extension office, and there's the Kent, where Terry, the architectural design group that was part of the planning for this. It's awesome when, you know, these movers and shakers get together with the business community and make things happen. I mean, I think I'm close enough to kind of watch some things that just kind of leave me breathless, because I didn't know that communities could work as they do. Now, I know people who aren't so close to it think nothing is happening in Cleveland, but in fact, a lot is happening in Cleveland. And I encourage NPI to continue to analyze the data and see where it takes Cleveland, because I think they're uncovering a new good future. But it just can't start and stop with these grants. It's gotta have a wider. There are more problems that they've already identified, I know. So
you move forward?
You want real concrete kind of needs? On the plot where we're going to put these raised beds, we've got a boulder, we've got mulberry roots, bush tree things that we got to dig out, and we've got some leftover fence posts that we need to get out of the way, and so this is going to take some muscle. So I have some physical needs even to get started with the setting up the beds and all. That's the biggest current need. We will need to continue to learn about caring for fruits and vegetable plants and trees, because this is not something we all grew up with. So there's the pruning and there's going to be some spraying. When to harvest and all of that. So there's a need for more education on the part of our group. We need customers to come and buy our fruits and vegetables, and I'm hoping that the market, the Gordon Square Market, continues to grow, and that people get enthused about it and we see more people doing the same thing. And we need to get the fence up quickly. So one of the next things. We could use some volunteers. I just wrote an email today to encourage one group that was offering to help us. We have to move our compost bin, and we're partway through the process. We just need a little help finishing it off and then shoveling the compost in and getting it set to go. So those are kind of the immediate needs we have.
Okay. Do you feel that there's any particular needs that are not being met?
I can't think of any. I think there's just an abundance of things going on, and probably the need to identify what needs to happen next is maybe the hardest, because it seems like whenever we identify what we need to do and get a plan together, there's people or there's resources or someone comes up with a free something or whatever. It's amazing how this all comes together. But it is a lot of work, but it's building something. Building something out of nothing.
We understand funding ends on November 30th. Do you have any expectations about what's going to happen next year?
Yes. I think next year we will be in good shape to prune and to grow and have, well, our fruit trees won't be ready, but the berry bushes will start, some of them will produce. And we'll start going to market with this stuff. I think we will look a lot different next year. I am so excited about this. This has given us a jump ahead that we just couldn't do without the grant. Yes, the grant money will end, but the grant money was pretty much for infrastructure. And when we have the infrastructure and the security there, then we can do more of what we've already been doing.
What are your plans, if you have any, for the next 5 years of your stewardship of this land?
We want the land to continue to improve. We work hard at building the soil, the richness of the soil. First, we started with compacted land that not far under the soil were a lot of bricks and cement and stuff, junk. And so we've built up, and we will have to continue that process in order to have rich enough land to grow food. I think as the trees mature, we will have produce that local restaurants will want to use. I mean, we've already experienced some of that, but when we get into some of the fruit, I think people will, restaurants will be very interested, local restaurants. And there are, on the Near West Side, there are a number of restaurants, a number of chefs that are very serious about supporting local efforts. And so I think we'll see the benefit of that. And I hope we have a way to engage the community too. I mean, I could even see Tai Chi classes out in the garden. You know, I just, it's a vision in my mind. Maybe we'll do that.
That's a good idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You mentioned the community garden. Mm-hmm. Are you still doing work over there?
Yes. Julie Lindstrom and I are co-leaders, and we are about to have our first work day there, and that is taking on some shape too. We've moved some things around, and it looks like we're going to build some more garden beds and expand the asparagus bed and all. So I think it's a happy coexistence between the two. Some of us do some market gardening on the what's called the Back 40, which is the part of the community gardens owned by St. Stephen's Church. But we all kind of learn from one another. And I enjoy, especially the kids that get involved in the community garden. First, those are the kids that some of them also cause a little damage, but I hope we win them over. What can I say?
How does the community garden work?
Well, it's a volunteer thing totally, and people can come can claim a plot or two. They're 4x8 beds, and they cost $10 to use it for the season. And it's part of the Summer Sprout program through OSU Extension, and so people get seeds and plants for free. And there are workshops where you can learn to grow things and learn to compost and all of that. And this year we have a goal of sending some of our excess produce to some place that can use it either for a meal or for pantry. So we're trying to kind of make a difference in a different way. There we have this nice straw bale house, or straw bale tool shed, and that's where we keep all the wheelbarrows and the tools and the seeds and everything. It's a very pleasant place. When people do tours, a lot of times they'll stop at that garden. Because it's lovely. We have some picnic benches there now, and I like going over there, you know, like early in the morning or around dusk. It's just very pleasant.
All right, do you have anything that you want to add that you think is important about your project?
I want to say that I'm thrilled that there are people documenting this whole movement, because as a employee at Cleveland State in the library, I've been involved in the Feeding Cleveland exhibit, which is part of Cleveland Memory, and we've kind of documented earlier gardening efforts, and this documentation is so high-tech and exciting, and we'll be able to capture a lot more than was captured in the past. And that's very exciting. I'm just very grateful to be part of this. In Eco Village Produce, I think this is helping us be more stable as a business. And I think it will be a good investment for the city, good investment for the business and all of us personally. So I want to say thank you to all the people who made it possible.
Thank you. It sounds like you're doing a good thing in your neighborhood.
Well, it'll be exciting.
Yeah.